The Brothers Wiss. The Brothers Wiss, Brothers Wiss. The Brothers Wiss. The Brothers.
You're now listening to Greg. It's the Brothers Wisp. Let's take a ride through.
Hey everybody, this is Greg with Greg Talks number 8. Yeah, 8. It says that on my notes, in fact. So this is a companion podcast with Brothers Wisp. This is just kind of me collecting thoughts throughout the week. So it doesn't always seem very coherent. And it's not always precisely technical, so please proceed with caution. Having said that, I've got a lot of feedback that people like it when I have other folks on here, but man, things just didn't line out that way this week. So I'm going to be talking to just you guys, and you guys can I'll say something, and then I'll have an awkward pause while you answer me, and then I'll have a witty retort back to you. So let's see what happened. I did some stuff around San Marcos, Texas, known for the rivery down there. What is it? You've got the Frio and the Guadalupe. It's like natural spring-fed rivers, and they are extremely cold year-round. But I happen to be doing some stuff down there. And I went to lunch at this Mexican restaurant, asked them, hey, you know, what's that? And this is whenever I go to a new place, I always try and ask the waiter or waitress or whatever, you know, what's your favorite thing on the menu? Not necessarily what are you known for, but kind of what's your favorite thing? And they said, I like the chicken fried chicken. And I was like, well, you know, I'm in a Mexican place. You say chicken fried chicken, I'm going to go chicken fried chicken. So I went for it, and it came out, and it was a portion about the size of two of my hands put together. So it's pretty big. Nice crispy crust on there, not too much batter. And then they dumped nacho cheese on top of that. They had like a half of an avocado, and it came with pico on top, rice and beans. I got the chato beans. For you guys, it's kind of like a bean soup sort of thing, and it was freaking delicious. So if you ever get the opportunity to get chicken fried chicken Mexican style, go for it. I'm wondering if I can just get the cheap nasty nacho cheese from the movie theater and dump it on some chicken fried chicken and call it a day. I seriously doubt it, but I would definitely say look for it if you can. So here lately, I've been chasing something. I've been continually getting positive news. Something about myself that's interesting is I refuse to let myself feel excited about it. I have to suppress all emotion, which is bizarre to talk about. I have this thing where if I just squash everything, then I don't, you know, I don't get disappointed, right? If I don't get my hopes up, then there's no disappointment associated with that. But it also, you know, it's like when you knock off the lows like that, you also kind of knock off the highs. And so I'm trying to find this happy middle ground where I can get a little bit of everything, you know, some high and some low. I'm slowly easing myself into it. Maybe after this project I'm working on kind of comes to fruition, I'll open up a little bit more about it. I'm working on it, work in progress, right? Always a little more better all the time. I was talking to somebody the other day, and it was I don't remember the context of the conversation. Well, actually, I kind of do now that I think about it. But they said, you know, our company has a lot of smart guys that need you to know it, you know, that they are the smartest guy in the room. And he goes, and you're not like that. And I like that. And I was thinking, which part, that I'm not a smart guy? No. I thought that was a pretty interesting perspective, right? And I like to think I have a decent bit of humility about me. I definitely know that I'm not the smartest guy in the room, so there's no problem with that. It's not that I even think it. It's like that I know I'm not the smartest guy anymore. And I'm good with that, and I embrace that, and I try and praise others for their knowledge, and it seems to really help. You know, it's so funny how infrequent we actually give others not necessarily credit for things, but just recognize when they're doing something, you know, or giving them recognition for a job well done, or, you know, thank you for doing this thing. So it's amazing how far that can go. Just small insights like that can go a long way for you. Oh man, I'm gonna skip that one on my list. That one's for a later date. That one's kind of more of a rant, and I don't feel like getting into that today. Let's see, what else do we have on the list? We have recently, it was a couple of weeks ago now, but I installed an ATA, right, an analog telephone adapter, So it's whenever you're doing voiceover IP, if you want somebody to have kind of a regular POTS line sort of connection, you can give them an ATA, an analog telephone adapter. And so this go around, I used a Grandstream HT818. So it's an 8-port ATA. So it's got a lot of functionality there, right? You can plug in a lot of phone lines. And so it was somebody who needed to do some life safety stuff. They needed to do it in a hurry. And so I threw one of these jokers together and got it up, and I was able to dial out. It was working great with VoIP.ms service. And, you know, I tested on my butt set. It was working great. I put it out in the field. Worked great. Shipped it to them. Had everything pre-configured. Came up. Did the thing. And for whatever reason, their fire panel couldn't dial out. It just refused to work. And so it took about 3 hours of tweaking and tuning and tuning and tweaking and then tweaking some more and then tweaking and tweaking and finally got it. So we finally got it to dial out. That was hectic, to say the least. But it really came down to a few things. One was turning off echo cancellation. So that causes problems from the line side, and then also to the service provider turning off echo cancellation, because that can cause problems as well, right? Because you want those raw tones to come through, because it's kind of modem communication, and so it's trying to suppress, you know, audio that's coming through that it doesn't think should be, and that changes it, and that's problematic. There's also the DTMF. That's being transmitted through, there's some protocols. I think there's an RFC where it'll take that and it'll separately digitize that and then try and send it through. And what you want to do is, given the option, the opportunity, I actually put like a link up on my blog with kind of the settings I did on this HT818 with some notes along with it. But you also want your DTMF to be in line. So just take it with the audio and then just jam it right through. So that was another one. And then you also want to use the lowest modulation rate you can. So like G711 ALAW or ULAW, because it does the lowest amount of compression. I know John Osmond could correct you all day long. And then he had actually a pretty good link to some stuff that had some information about faxing over analog lines and stuff like that. But it also pertains to this. So it was interesting information. It's not the end-all be-all. You know, there's a lot of probably a lot of systems that aren't going to work with it, but man, did I ever feel fortunate when this Siemens fire panel actually came up and started working, because lo and behold, they had the fire inspector, this fire marshal rather, coming out the very next day at 8 a.m. To take a look at it. Of course, they waited the last minute to do all this stuff, which is the way of things. It was so much fun, but it also got me thinking about, you know, there's different types of digital faxing stuff. I think it's like T.38, and then there's some, I think Sangoma has like a faxing service where they've actually got hardware that dials directly into their data center to do some faxing over digital stuff, right? And it's kind of like it's a pay-for service. You can't just tie it into anything. But it made me think about, when was the last time I actually had to fax something? So it was either when I was doing some paperwork for an LLC, or quite possibly, and maybe my favorite is Texas A&M. I was doing some phone line modifications for one of the properties we manage, and it happened to be phone lines coming in through them, and so I needed to make a change. And the telecommunications department, telecom as they call them, A&M Telecom, the only way I could make adjustments was to take this PDF, print it out, fill it in by hand, and then fax it to them, and then they would take that fax and then they would like data entry that stuff into their system, and then it would go from there, which I found infinitely hilarious that a telecom department at a major university didn't have a method for me to just fill out this form digitally and email it to them, and then they would go from there. So felt fairly backwards and upside down. So it's just curious what everybody else, you know, can, if you can even recall the last time you sent a fax, or even received a fax for that matter. Oh man. Yeah, I was thinking about it. You know, so I always kind of have like this deck of cards sitting in front of me up here. So whenever I travel, I always do sleight of hand. It's my way of keeping my hands moving when I'm just sitting there, you know. So the entire trip, I usually take one bicycle deck with me, and I'll I'll constantly thumb through that thing. I'll shuffle it. I'll move it around. It sounds like I'm going to be doing a little bit of travel in the near future. So I don't know. It's something I actually like doing. And I was thinking maybe like once every trip I take, pick up a new trick, you know, figure out a new thing. I think that would actually be kind of fun to play around with. So we'll see how I go with that. Just curious if anybody else has any weird travel things they do, you know, it's like something that they only do when they travel, you know, whether to amuse them or to relieve stress, or, you know, because traveling is fairly stressful. I'm always paranoid that I'm going to miss the plane for some reason, even though I've only missed a connecting flight one time. It's still, you know, stressful until I'm sitting at my terminal ahead of time. Then I'm always sort of worried about it for whatever reason. Oh man. So let's, Microtech Mom is still coming up. They haven't canceled it. They canceled the European Mom due to the, coronavirus, which a lot of stuff has. So, I mean, like South by Southwest here in Austin, that's been going for 34 years and they just killed that. Although the Houston Rodeo is going on right now and people are still going to that. So everything's fine there. But, the European Mom, yeah, that was canceled. So I'm assuming the U.S. Mom, which is going to happen in about a month. Unfortunately, I've already bought a plane ticket. I've already booked a hotel, although I guess I can cancel my hotel reservation. I can't cancel my flight. I get no money back on that. But that's not the end of the world. But I'm assuming that Joker is going to be canceled. Having said that, I'm still pushing through, and I'm still going to go ahead and do my presentation. I've got most of it already written. You know, since I'm doing it on using Ansible with Microtech, I've already written a bunch of playbooks, and I've already made some really good progress, some good breakthroughs on some of the tougher parts of Microtech bolt configuration. Some of the stuff I couldn't find playbooks on anywhere. And really the playbooks I have found are fairly light. They're just kind of light configuration stuff. And so these playbooks are actually doing updates. So regular router OS updates, because there's some kind of snafus in there, which I'll end up talking about. And then firmware updates as well. And just interesting stuff like that. So I'm working on right now DSA, installing a DSA cert. So I've got it so that the server in Ansible creates the DSA cert. And now I just need to upload it to the Microtech. And I found an FTP module, so I'm going to try that. I tried the SFTP/SCP net copy command in Ansible, and it doesn't seem to work with Microtech. I don't know if it's just the newest version. Maybe the version I'm running is so new that there's kind of a bug in it or something like that. I'm not sure, or if it's just a limitation of Microtech with this Ansible module. I haven't figured that out yet, so I was thinking plain old FTP. Somebody wrote a module, so maybe I can just use that to FTP the cert on. So that's going to be an interesting one. I'm trying to find the tougher stuff and knock those out. And I got a pretty good list of different playbooks people were interested in seeing. And so, yeah, I'm just going to try and knock those out. And then every time I actually write one, I'm going to try and throw that up on my GitHub repository and maybe make a blog post about it. I'm not sure. I'll see. And I haven't, again, I keep talking about it and I haven't put any of those up. I'm really trying to wait until I get my presentation fully done. And then, you know, so that way I get them all kind of refined, because right now they're a little bit of rough. There's a lot of kind of blocked out comment stuff that's old configuration that I just haven't cleaned up. So I need to take care of that first, and then I'll get those things up. Oh man. So was it last week? Maybe the week prior. I can't remember. Dude, everything's been running together for me lately. Everything's just kind of, time seems to be compressing, even though I wanted to move faster because I got some stuff coming up that I'm interested in. I don't know. It's just everything's squishing together. But I had a couple of days off. One, I actually went and took care of some stuff, and I completed it far sooner than I had anticipated. So that was great. And so I was going to relax the next day. And of course, the server blows up that morning. And so I spend all day rebuilding the server with a little bit of assistance from some friends of mine. And I was just, you know, that's the way of it. As soon as you catch your breath, as soon as you slow down for a second, something, you know, some karma associated with work will catch you up and say, oh, you look like you're having a good time there. Let me ruin that for you. Let me jump out there. You know, interrupting cow. It's like that knock, knock joke, right? Knock, knock, who's there? Interrupting cow. And then when they try and say who, you just yell moo. That's what I feel like stuff at work is. It's just always screaming moo at me every time I try and catch my breath. Ugh, Lord have mercy. At some point, I'll be dead and everything will be great. Can't wait. Oh, man. Yeah, so speaking of, that first day, I was doing some lifting stuff. And, dude, I can't pick stuff up anymore. Like, I'm just too old, you know, and it really comes down to my back, you know, it's just so jank. And I was wearing, like, my back brace sort of thing, and it wasn't the worst thing in the world, but, man, it was, I don't know, it punished me. But you know what, I was lifting heavier stuff than I really expected to be able to lift, and I was moving pretty good that day. The next day, I mean, I was having a little bit of trouble getting down on the toilet, you know, because you're stiff trying to get out of bed, and I popped a bunch of ibuprofen, did that two times that day, and it loosened up, and then I was good to go because I had a pickleball tournament that a couple of days later, and I ended up playing and did all right. Actually got bronze in 4-5 mixed doubles, which was pretty good. That was the first time I've medaled in that high category. So if you guys are familiar with, like, tennis scoring, you know, it starts at like 2.0 and then goes up by half increments up to 5.0. So I'm technically a 3-5, and I was playing a 4-5, which is almost, you know, as high as you could go. And man, I was handing it to people. I was giving them the biz, and we ended up pulling out bronze. That was close. Actually, should have gotten silver or gold on that one, but hey, it's either here or there. I'm not going to complain about a medal. Medal is a medal, rather. Having said that, I got another tournament coming up this weekend. So a week from today, I'm going to be playing in the doubles category at Mid-South, and that's the big one. That's the big boy, because this is like a tier 2 tournament. And if we get gold in this one, then I get an automatic place at nationals. Sounds like an episode of Glee. Going to nationals. Going to regionals. But that one would be pretty cool, because that one's out in California. And it's the big one. It's the big show, right? And everybody wants to go to that. So that would be pretty neat to at least once say that I went and did it. And even if I didn't win anything, I got there. And I you know, got some games, and that would be pretty cool. So long as it doesn't get canceled. It's supposed to be in November, so who knows what this coronavirus is going to do to it. Anyway, the stuff for this coming weekend is still on, so I'm going to get out there and see what I can do. Speaking of, I fixed my pickleball shoes again. Dude, I'm so tough on these things. So I got that tough toe stuff. I was talking about that before. It's just kind of like a tough rubberized epoxy stuff, and it's really expensive. It did a pretty darn good job. It started wearing through, though. So I got some JB Weld, the quick stuff, the stuff that sets in like 6 minutes. And that did pretty good the first time. I think I ate all of it off playing once in it. But I didn't put a very thick layer. So I put a thicker layer this go around. And then also I dragged my foot. If you can imagine, it's like if you're facing forward, you have your legs, you know, like your feet set wide, and I will slide to the left and I'll drag my foot. So the top of my foot kind of turns sideways, and I drag the side of my shoe, and it just eats holes in the side. So I went and got some leather and cut a piece that didn't look too trashy on there, and then used some E6000 and glued it on. It actually did a tremendous job. I used some fairly thick leather, probably about 2 millimeters thick, and I don't think I needed it to be that thick, because it looks like it's going to hold up pretty good. But I also found, because I was trying to, you know, it's like I just need some scrap leather, some little cutoffs. You know, I was looking online and everything was pretty pricey for what you'd get. I mean, you're talking like $9 for like a 6x6 inch square or something. I was thinking, that's pretty nuts. So I ended up going to Hobby Lobby, and they have bags in their like craft section. The whole store is a craft section, I guess, but in kind of like the leather crafting section, you know, because I got a lot of leather tools and stuff like that. And you can buy bags of cutoffs. It's like all different colors, all different shapes, sizes, thicknesses. You get a whole like 3-pound bag for like $10. And I was like, dude, this is the way to go. And then plus it was 30% off. And I don't know. It looked like it was 30% off of all the stuff in that area. So that was great. So I ended up getting a bunch of that. And I only used just a teensy little piece, you know, like 2 inch by 3.5 inch. So I've got a whole lot left over, and I got to figure out stuff to do with leather. You know, I love getting a new material. It really kind of gets my brain moving, you know, trying to think of all the different things I could do with it. Like, I've been watching Jimmy DiResta online make a bunch of leather wallets and stuff, and there's actually enough material where you could attempt that. Of course, he's got some nicer tools to do that stuff with, but you could still do it with the things I have. I don't know. I don't think I want to go through all that trouble. It's interesting to think about, though. Oh, man. Let's see. What else was cooking this week? Or really the last couple weeks, because the previous weeks when I banked kind of ahead. Oh, yeah. So I stayed in a hotel when I went down and did that tournament. And, you know, I was thinking one of the simple pleasures in life, one of the small things that I really like is when you're at a hotel and, you know, they've got that really hard water. And so you take just a blazing hot shower. You know, it feels so good. You'd probably stay in there an extra 10 minutes, even though you don't need to. This was after a long day of playing. So I was tired anyway and just nasty. So I took a long shower. You know, they're that hard water. And so it just washes everything off really good. And then you get those big fluffy towels and you just, oh, feels so good to dry off on those things. And the best part of all, you take that joker and you just throw it on the floor. You just throw it. It feels so great. It's like, that's right. This is happening. You're gonna suck it. Oh man, it felt so great. It's those little things. Everybody's got the little things, right? There's whatever it happens to be, you know, going to Starbucks and that first sip of coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker. I love the way it tastes, but caffeine just kind of breaks my brain. But you know, everybody's got their little things. And so I love hitting a shower in a hotel room, use those nice fluffy towels, knowing I don't have to clean them up. That's somebody else's problem. But I was thinking, you know, whenever you're out and about, there's probably few redeeming qualities when you're away from home. And I was thinking that was a really good one. There's lots of them, you know, if you really kind of sit down and think about it. And I love finding new things. And speaking of new things out of town, and so there's this group of people, you know, that we played pickleball with. And I'm trying to be more social, trying to break out. You know, these are a bunch of muggles, just normal people. So I'm trying to be a normal human and interact with him. So we go to dinner and everybody wants, yeah, I mean, so we're in the Woodlands north of Houston, lots of restaurants, some mom and pop stuff, really interesting. Where do they want to go? They want to go to Olive Garden. I was like, are you kidding me? Came all this way to go to Olive Garden. So anyway, we went to Olive Garden. It was actually fine. And the people were fine. The company was fine. It was just, it felt kind of anticlimactic. Is that what I'm looking for? I think that's the word. Yeah. But it was fine. I got the salmon. Salmon was good. So, I don't know. I can't complain too much. I ate my body weight in breadsticks. And the soup and the salad's always, yeah, you know, whatever. It's just, you know, it felt kind of like, seriously, dude, whatever. Anyway, I also actually did some technical things as well. I don't know why most of my notes consist with non-technical stuff. I guess, I don't know. That's the stuff that's most interesting to me lately. I don't know. Maybe that's a symptom of being a little burned out. Or a lot burned out. Either way, it's neither here nor there. Let's see. So we were doing some migration to Office 365. And so we had to put in some SPF record stuff. And I remember there being a limitation of some sort. So I had to look it up. And it's actually, you can only do 10 DNS lookups. So if you're doing like includes with domains that can actually do some sending stuff, you can only do 10 of those. Now, if you have IP addresses of like servers that are allowed to send, there is no limit, right? Because that's not a resolution. It's DNS lookups that it counts towards. And so I also found out that in bind 9, whenever you have an entry, right? So it's basically bind 9's doing it. I mean, I use a front end for it, but whenever you look at the configuration files, because that's what it does generally, it's just flat files. So each zone has its own file and each record has its own line. And in there, by default, bind 9 only allows you to have 255 characters, right? So they're in quotes, right? This SPF record, which is, I think, technically like a text record, it puts it in quotes. And we have a bunch of IP addresses and then the SPF stuff. So what it does is it puts up to 255 characters and then it ends the quotes, puts a space, and then opens another set of quotes and then continues to put records in there, which is fine, except for the fact that the GUI I was using, whenever it started that second set of quotes, it didn't put a space in there. So whenever that record gets pulled and interpreted, where the first set of quoted things and the last set of quoted things, where they connect, since there was no space in the quotes there, it actually jammed those together and failed on that entry. Which was not great. I didn't realize it was doing that. I wonder how long it had been doing that, but it wasn't working there. So I just went into the configuration file itself, manually put a space after the second set of quoted entries, saved it, queried it, it worked just fine. So note to others doing that, and maybe my GUI is just a little bit behind that I'm using, so perhaps in the newer version it actually takes that into account. I'm not sure, but it was an interesting gotcha that I ran into. Oh man, let's see what else. So having to do with that, also we had to tweak a bunch of SMTP stuff, and so a lot of our various systems, I like it to relay off of itself just for safety, right? Like if you have one relay server that everything's going through and that relay server fails, then all of your mail delivery fails. But we built kind of a relay system that's highly available, so I'm feeling better about it. Plus we have plenty of daily tests moving through it, so you know, it's kind of safer to do it that way now. And so we had to move a bunch of our internal systems to relay through that because it just made it so much simpler. And I learned that in SMTP on Windows, if you're going to forward it, you know, you want to like forward all of the delivery to a relay server, you use the smart host option in the delivery tab, and then it will forward all of that, all of those emails to your relay server for their final destination delivery. That one wasn't very tough to figure out, but yeah, just put it out there, put it out in the world. Maybe you guys can find that useful. So something else I heard from Adam Savage, one of my personal, I would say he's probably as close to a personal hero as I have, or an idol, or whatever you want to call it. Just because he sort of embodies a lot of the things that I really admire. One is he's a very clever guy. All right, so he thinks his way out of puzzles, and he likes to build things, right? He's so I love making. I love being a maker. Sometimes it's, you know, it makes more sense to go buy it. It's cheaper and faster to just buy the object, but sometimes I want to make it. You know, sometimes I want to figure out how it works, and I'm very much a hypothetical guy. I love to take things and not look at how anybody else did it and then just try and figure it out on my own. How would I do this thing? And then if it fails or succeeds, just kind of see how other people do it after the fact, right? I don't want to presuppose, like, I don't want anybody else's stuff influencing me, you know, because I just want to see how I would come up with a solution. I want to see how that compares to everybody else. I love kind of testing my brain in that capacity. But what else do I like about him? I love his curiosity. He's curious about so many things, and so am I. I love being curious, and I hope that part of me never really goes away. Hopefully that's deep enough in my personality that it stays. And I think it's what helps keep me interested in the world. It helps keep me connected to the world, because I always want to learn about people and the way they do things and the way they interact with everything. And, you know, it also helps me keep up with technology, which sometimes when I get super burned out is tough to do, which is one of the reasons I'm really thankful for Ansible right now, because that's something that's really interesting to me, that's kind of keeping me moving forward with technology. So I like that, you know. But on one of his videos, and he also puts out a lot of information. He's really good about sharing information. He loves to share what he knows with other people, right? He's a good human. He's a really good human. I like that about him. But he put out a video, and he was talking about tools to hold materials. And so he was talking about like a jeweler's pin vise, you know, and it's kind of like this single handle that goes up to these little vise jaws, and whenever you screw the handle, it will clamp down on something very small so you can hold it to work with, which is generally a very difficult thing to do with very small parts. And something he said in there, which really rang true with me, is he said, whenever you're talking to an expert, you know, at whatever they do, he said, ask them about their tools. Ask them about the specialized tools they use only in their industry. I was thinking that's really cool, because, you know, as like a network engineer, people could ask us about what's a specialized tool that only, you know, you guys really use. And I'm sure we could come up with lots of different things, you know, each one of us. But I was thinking, you know, like jewelers, right? Like with their holding tools and their different tricks, you know, I mean, sometimes they use like resin, so they'll put like resin on a surface to hold like very intricate things that they don't want to mar, right? It's just a chunk of resin that's kind of softish, but still tacky, you know, so they can kind of put like a ring or a piece of jewelry down in there, right? Just really interesting stuff. You know, I'm sure you could talk to welders about specialized tools, or pipe fitters, or astronauts, right? Or dentists. I bet dentists have some cool stuff. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's really, you know what? I was talking to a dentist the other day. So I had these two friends. One is a dentist and one is a lecturer at A&M. And the lecturer is a female. She does a lot of female studies and sexual studies and stuff like that. So she was asking the dentist about dental dams. I only know them for like sexual activity or whatever. And then he was like, yeah, dentists used to use those a long time ago for like procedure. He's like, I don't even have him anymore. He's like, I don't even think I've ever even used them. And he's like, I didn't even know people use them for sexual activity. I was like, that's crazy, because I only knew them as that other thing. You know, it's just, so wow, that was a real interesting divergence there. But yeah, because there's, you know, specialized tools. You never know what you're going to run into. Oh, I really don't want to ask her about any of her specialized tools. Actually, I know of a couple, and they're pretty hilarious. I digress, though. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. If you're ever talking to an expert, and I hope that I'll remember this. I know I won't. But whenever you're talking to an expert in their field, ask them what kind of specialized tools they use. Because also, I think that would be an interesting way for that person to kind of open up to you. You know, like when you're trying to find common ground with somebody, what they do generally speaks deeply to who they are. You know, because a lot of people identify themselves through their occupation. So that would be really interesting. You know, what's a specialized tool that you use? And also, it might be an interesting game to kind of see if you can guess what they're going to say they're specialized. Like a cop. If you asked a cop what's a specialized tool to them, I'm not sure what they would say. You know, is there something that wouldn't immediately be obvious that they would have? I don't know. It's interesting to think about. Well, I'm at about a half hour. Let me talk about one more thing that I ran into. Is Southward, my favorite lockpick company. I saw they sent me some spam. You know how that stuff goes. About like the 20th anniversary of their jackknife lockpick set. It's this guy right here. I picked up a few of them. So in essence, it looks like a regular pocket knife, but right here in the front is a tension wrench, and it's kind of hard to get out, but once you pop it out, it's got about six of their most popular blades inside, or not blades, but picks inside, and so you can pull the picks out individually, and there's a screw in the back that will tighten it and keep just that one individual out. It actually feels pretty good in your hand. It's more substantial than a standard pick, right, because it's about the size of a pocket knife. I mean, it's about 3.5 inches long, somewhere in that neighborhood. And so it feels pretty good. It's just whenever the blades are out, or the picks, I keep calling them blades, whenever the picks are out and you have them locked in, there's just the teensiest bit of wiggle, which sometimes whenever you're doing a very delicate operation, you need to really feel that. But I don't see this as a tool that you're trying to do delicate picking. You're going to have a standard set of picks for that sort of stuff. This is going to be more, I think, of kind of a rough and ready, and I got it in my pocket, or I got it in my laptop bag, or my bug out bag, or my my glove box in my car, something like that. My bug out bag, for those of you that are preppers. But just something that you might have if you were in a pinch and you needed to try and pick. So it's got like a city rake in there. It's got a short hook, long hook. It's got, I think, kind of a snake rake in there. So it's got most, and it's got like a little triangle pick. So it's got the vast majority of what you're looking for. And in these silver ones, they have a category that's like physical blemish. And the one I opened, because I got a few of them and I left two of them in their packages, the one I opened, I didn't really see any physical blemishes on there. But due to the physical blemishes, you can get them for like $23 a piece, which is pretty good for that number of rakes and kind of this or picks in this kind of special form factor. So I think that was pretty neat. Pretty neat buy. If you guys are interested, you could probably pop in there and grab one for yourself. Well, guys, I don't know of much else. I know popular opinion says please do these with people. I tried 3 or 4 people today, and it just didn't work out. Things have, you know, everybody's got lives, everybody's all over the place, so it gets hectic sometimes. So hopefully next go around I'll have a human here with me, because I know you guys like the discourse, you like the back and forth, so I'll try and get that out there for you. Any questions, comments, anything you're interested in hearing, any feedback you want to give me, please give me feedback. I super enjoy constructive criticism. I was talking to a guy the other day and he was like, how am I gonna, and this is very much my feeling, it's like, how am I gonna know what I can improve on if people don't tell me? So for sure, I when I ask for it, I genuinely enjoy it, and since I solicited it, feel free to let fly. Let me know. I'm pretty good about taking constructive criticism, feedback, all that good stuff. So questions, comments, any feedback you'd like, Greg at GregSoul.com. Thank you, guys. If you want to support the podcast, patreon.com/brotherswisp. Get access to the Slack. I think we've got a couple of new guys since the last cast we put out. The next one is slated for this coming weekend. I'm technically not playing till Sunday, but I have friends that are playing on Saturday, so I'm just going to try and squeeze this joker in at the normal time, so hopefully we'll have a normal podcast in there. But thank you guys for listening. If you made it all the way through the end, talk about equipment and methodology,
so sit back and start learning. Lighting up the tower so people can start searching. Shooting up the web in neighborhoods, net surfing. We got horrible jokes, we're loud and annoying, but we're informative facts, we're not disappointing. Just give us a listen, cause fun is the mission. I'm telling you, you don't know what you are missing. Ideas and some good comedy given. If you missed the show already, don't worry, you're forgiven.